Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Emmanuel. It is a blessing for us to join together in worship in this Lenten season. And it is a blessing and an honor for me to be with you here tonight to join in worship with you, my brothers and sisters. And again, my name is Pastor Andrew Landauer, and every time we're here, we'd like to bring a hello and God's blessings from you, brothers and sisters, in St. Paul's in Concordia. So again, it's a blessing to join with you in worship this evening. We're going to continue in a series that we're going through all of these midweek Lenten services, the Sounds of the Passion. And tonight we're going to take a look at both John 18 and Isaiah chapter 9, which might be a reading that you recognize from a different season altogether, but coming together for the same sound of passion as we think about feet, of pounding boots and marching feet going along, and how that connects to what God was planning all the way through. Is there violence and war and soldiers marching back and forth throughout history? But God had a plan to end the bloodshed and the violence. And we see Jesus facing it head on in John 18. Bring it all to a conclusion that we might have life and peace forever. So we'll begin our service today as we look at that bulletin you picked up on your way in by singing that opening hymn together, hymn number 531.
Thank you.
Please rise as you are able, as our service begins with the invocation. As God's service to you begins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ, now become the High Priest over all the good things that have come.
With his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once for all time, and secured our redemption forever.
For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands.
He entered into heaven itself, to appear now before God on our behalf.
He did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again.
Once for all time, he has appeared.
Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God.
Let us hold fast our confessions.
For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Let us then draw with confidence near to the throne of grace. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, endured not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of tramping warrior and battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our second reading for this evening is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Who do you seek?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." And this was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we now will sing our sermon hymn, hymn number 451. Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given,
and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David, and over his kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Merry Christmas. That's where we've heard this before, right? This is the reading for the Christmas midnight service, and we use it throughout that Advent season quite liberally. So what's it doing here in Lent, we might wonder? Well, all the cards on the table, it fits the theme. As we look and we see the tramping warrior and battle tumult, and compare that to the sound of those soldiers' boots that are coming to arrest Jesus in John 18. But there's something that's even maybe deeper about this, just opposed to the boots. No, we have to start with Christmas to get to Lent, Good Friday, and eventually Easter. You see, it's interesting because this is what Christmas points to. The peace of Christmas, the child born on Christmas Eve, he is the light. He was born to bring joy, to break oppression's rod, to burn the warrior's tramping boots and the garments rolled in blood. He was born to bring peace. And we often find that same sort of peace on that beautiful, silent night, that holy night that rolls around each and every year. We think about that peaceful baby in the manger, and we don't think of Lent or Good Friday. But even as we celebrate Christmas, and as that first Christmas came and went, the bloody boots kept marching. They didn't stop. Even with all the pomp and circumstance of that angel host singing to the shepherds on that silent, holy night. No, not long after Christmas, in fact, there were soldiers tramping right through the little town of Bethlehem as Herod sent them to kill that newborn king. And even though they weren't able to accomplish that, they did kill every young boy, 2 years and under, that was in that little town of Bethlehem. And throughout Jesus' early life, those boots continued to march all over the world. And even in Judah and Galilee, as those Jewish zealots marched against the Romans with insurrection and murder, and the Roman cohorts marched right back, bringing violence and cruel examples. And during the 3 years of Jesus' public ministry, all of these tensions had nearly boiled over as the Romans and the Jews and the Herodians were at each other's throats, antagonizing one another, threatening each other's positions of power, and yes, shedding each other's blood. Bloody boots tramping all over the land once called holy. And Jesus becomes a person of great interest to these powers that be, as he was creating quite a following for himself. And they wondered, is he going to bring his growing number of followers into this same bloody march? And we can ask ourselves, where did all the joy and peace of Christmas go? It was supposed to be there. This one born was supposed to bring this. And for that matter, where is it today? As it might actually be much easier for us to get into a Lenten state of mind in our modern world instead of the peaceful, silent night of Christmas. Because those bloody boots continue to march all across our broken world. Ukraine, Myanmar, Sudan, Ethiopia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Yemen, and many other nations ring out with that marching of bloody soldiers' boots. The same area of Jesus' Judea and Galilee? What's going on there today? Bloody marching as Israel is in conflict with Gaza, the West Bank, Lebanon, and tens of thousands of people are having their blood shed. And in all of this, our own nation feels the tension of this bloody, warring world as our relationships with other countries seem strained. And we can ask ourselves, where are those bloody boots going to march next? Will it be Taiwan? More of Eastern Europe? Will it be closer to home? See, with the tensions in our own country, some folks have made some really crazy, wild predictions that these bloody boots could even march in between our not-so-United States. And as we hear that, we can nervously laugh and say, wow, that would never actually happen. Then we can get caught up in thinking about how awful people seem to be to each other in their words. And what would it take for that to spill over into action? Do we hear marching? You see, this is not meant to foment fear among us. It is simply to paint the picture of our reality, of the frustrating, broken world that we live in, one that is caught up in sin and death and all of its violence. But it's also to remind us that God is not deaf. Not at all. He hears that bloody marching better than anyone else. Every bloody step striking right to the core of his heart. This is why he promised the hope he did in Isaiah chapter 9. Because he would not let the sound of that marching last. This is why he sent his eternal son to be born a man in that manger on that silent night. But the thing is, on that silent, peaceful night, God's ears were filled with the terrible grinding of all of history's bloody tramping armies. Because Jesus was born to be trampled by all of it and bring peace through his death. So as Jesus heard those boots coming in John chapter 18, he wasn't surprised. Not in the least. That sound had been ringing in his ears his whole life long, and even for thousands of years before he was born a man. This is what he came to do. So he meekly went, stopped Peter from carrying on the violence, and put that sword away. I must drink this cup that the Father gives. And he meekly went, led by those bloody tramping feet to a kangaroo court, but immediately found him guilty. No surprise there. And then the marching continued. They led him to Pilate, who, after some back and forth, some shouting and jeering, Jesus was sentenced to die by crucifixion. And this was then followed by another orderly march to the barracks. But this is where the bloody tramping feet actually stopped for a second. The orderly cadence went by the wayside as those feet surrounded Jesus, covered his head, and struck him, telling him then to prophesy who hit him as they laughed. And then they dressed him up in a fine robe, put a crown of thorns on his head, gave him a stick as a scepter, as they all bowed down and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Before taking the stick back and striking his crown upon his head till he was a bloody mess. And those heavy boots then tracked through his blood as they picked him up, put a crossbeam on his back, and continued the march. You see, the march became more orderly again as they prodded Jesus along toward that eastern gate which led to Golgotha. And it only stopped again because Jesus collapsed in a bloody heap. He couldn't go further with that cross on his back. And they stopped, angry, yanking a man out of the crowd to put the cross on him instead, and then continued that march all the way to the hill called the Skull, where Jesus would be crucified. And what these soldiers and the whole crowd did not understand about the reality was that Jesus had at his command a heavenly host beyond numbering, ready and waiting to march down and destroy these evil marching boots that were commanded by Satan himself. He could have done away with all of it, with the heavenly force, with one word. But instead, he spoke this word: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And turned the other cheek for what must have been the 491st time that day. He let the tramp of bloody feet lead him to the cross, nail his bloody feet to it, and he died, taking all of the world's bloody sin on himself. And Jesus died. But as he died, he heard that tramping of feet all around him. And I can only imagine that along with that, he recalled those words that his own spirit inspired Isaiah to write all those years before. "For every boot of tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." His death means that the bloody march of sin, death, and the devil is going to end forever. And even as we still hear that bloody marching across our world today, its days are numbered. In fact, beginning with Jesus' resurrection, a new kind of march began. A march of hope and joy. March and feet that, yes, were also bloody, but washed in the blood of the Lamb. And these beautiful feet follow the resurrected Christ, bringing his grace and life in the face of the world's shadow, its horror and death. Freed from sin and death, we follow Jesus, following in his way, marching in time with his step. "If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me," he says. And this is the marching that swells, growing in volume day by day, until someday soon it will drown out the violent, bloody tramping, which will be nothing more than a vague, dissipating echo, until it is no more. And this is the wonderful reality. It allows us to sing songs like "Onward, Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War with the Cross of Jesus Going on Before." We can sing in joy as we march, knowing that Christ has actually already won the war, and he has redefined what it means to be a soldier, because we march to proclaim victory. A victory that is already won, wielding the Holy Spirit's own sword, which shines the light of his truth, brings forgiveness and grace, proclaiming a beautiful new reality to a world lost in darkness, freeing prisoners from oppression of sin and death. See, we are soldiers marching not to fight, but to sing the praises of God who has saved us from sin, death, and the devil. As we go about following after Jesus, our marching song can sound very much like the promise that was already given. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government is upon his shoulder. And his name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness, from this time forth and even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has done this. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human wisdom and understanding keeps our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now service continues with the gathering of our tithes and offerings, our first fruits given to God for his ministry in this place. And we continue by gathering that. Hymn number 427.
Thank you.